Thanks, Julia.
The reading's from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
So there's a bit of a praise, isn't there, sweeping the church at the moment. We have a bit of a version of it here up at St Mary's in Ladybrook. We call ours Family Church. Everyone else seems to call it Messy Church. I know some of you have got visiting from other places. Who has Messy Church in some of the churches which you've... Okay, well done, Fiona. Fiona has Messy Church, it Raven said. Yeah, brilliant. So some of you... Willie's even got his T-shirt on tonight, so thank you, Willie. Willie can stand up for my visual illustration. That's good. So Willie's wearing his Messy Church T-shirt. That's good. Model beautifully, thank you, Willie. So, messy church. Lots of places have messy church. We're not quite brave enough to call it messy church. That's really the truth of it. So we call it family church. Though I have to be saying at the last one, there was a bit more mess creeping in. So I think we're getting a bit braver with our level of mess up at St Mary's. We had paint blowing bubbles. That's quite messy, actually. That's quite messy. It's difficult to do that without getting in a bit of a mess. So messy church. It's good fun. And there's lots of it going on. It's a thing that's going on. I'm sure you've heard of it. Truth is, of course, one of the reasons why perhaps we don't call it that sometimes is we don't think church should be messy, do we? Church, you put on your best gear, don't you? Well, some of us do. You put on your best gear, make sure you're nice and smart and all that kind of stuff. Sunday best. It's not messy, is it? You know, there's another phrase, isn't there? Cleanliness is next to godliness. I hope not. Because I tell you what, if cleanliness is next to godliness in our house, we're completely stuffed. Okay, so, you know, basically it's completely doomed if that's the case. So, messy church. Why are we thinking about that tonight? Well, because actually, in a way, it doesn't get much more messy than this, does it? You know, basically, in a minute, our candidates are going to get absolutely soaked. Sorry, Chloe. I'm sorry if you didn't realise. I'm sorry about that. You are going to get absolutely soaked. There's going to be water everywhere. There's going to be, you're going to be dripping wet. There'll be dripping water across the carpet, and the church wardens will be getting... Oh, no, the church wardens won't be bothered. That's fine. It's messy. This is a bit of a messy service tonight. You might be forgiven for thinking, why do we bother? Why bother with making all of this mess? Actually, to be fair, you might think, well, of course, that's why in proper churches that we don't always, and even this one sometimes, we don't actually manage to get the big pool out. We only manage to get the big pool out once a year, to be honest. Though, when the building's redeveloped, hooray, praise the Lord, that's going to happen one day. That's a word of faith there. When we've redeveloped the building, we're going to have a baptistry, we hope. So it will be a little bit easier for us to do this. But to be fair, like most other Anglican churches, most of the time, we do our baptisms at the front with just a little bit of water just sprinkled over people, a little baby's head. But to be fair, I always seem to get in a mess with that too, you know. I always seem to have water everywhere, my books are soaked, you know, the baby's crying, what is this guy throwing water over me for, you know. So that's just obviously me. I'm sure that others of you who do that here. It's quite a lot of clergy in the house tonight, by the way, folks, all right, just warning you, some of them are incognito, but there are quite a few in. So just be warned about that. So you're getting a bit of a mess, don't you, Anna? You know, you're getting a bit of a mess. Actually, to be fair, mine don't cry very often, but sometimes they do. In fact, I think there was a Thanksgiving the other day. I couldn't even hold the baby. It was like, I am not going near you. Who are you, you strange man? And what am I doing here? Anyway, yeah, it's true. Actually, to be fair, they don't tend to cry very often. The technique is to make sure the water's warm. We haven't done that tonight, by the way. It's freezing, Chloe, all right? It is really. Kenny's had the heater all since lunchtime. No, it's fine. He's had it in there since Friday. But it's messy. It's messy. Why do we bother with making all of this mess? Why do we manage to get this big tank out and make all this effort? Why on earth do we do this? Why do we bother with the water at all? Well, We do all this. Firstly, why do we do all this? First, and probably most important reason why we do all this is simply this. Because it's what Jesus has told us to do. It's what Jesus has told us to do. He's told us in that reading we had from Matthew 28 just now, go therefore and make disciples of all nations or all people groups, baptizing them, how? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you will hear us in a bit do exactly that. We will be baptizing and we will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because that's what Jesus has told us to do. So it's done in lots of different ways, in lots of different contexts. It's done in rivers, it's done in swimming pools, it's done in the sea, it's done in little fonts, it's done in big pools. Actually, I think you can fully immerse babies, actually, can't you? Has anyone ever done that? Oh, fantastic, there you go. So Katie's done that, yes, so there you go. So, you know, they didn't hold you under. Katie didn't know that, she looks really worried. Katie, it's fine, don't worry, it's happened. You haven't got to. So basically, did they hold you under or anything like that? No, was Richard did. Oh, we just did that, okay. So yeah, maybe, to be fair, we'd struggle to fully immerse a bit of a wasp in our font, I think. But anyway, there you go. But there you go. So basically, you can fully immerse babies too. But we do it. Well, however we do it? We do it because Jesus has told us to do it. There's a direct line that goes right back 2,000 years to this command from Jesus. This is what he has told us to do. And Paul picks it up, doesn't he? In that other reading, great reading about baptism from Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Baptism is foundational. This is foundational stuff we're engaged in tonight. Baptism is part of the foundations of our Christian faith. It's what Jesus has clearly and explicitly told us to do. So, basically, it's a little bit of a challenge here, because some people say to me sometimes, well, of course, I don't really need to be baptized, do I? Yes, actually, you do. Jesus has told us to do this. Basically, if you want to say, well, to be fair, if you don't want to follow Jesus, then that's a different story. But if you want to say, I want to follow Jesus, then you should be baptized. Basically, it doesn't matter whether you, and if you're baptized as a baby, by the way, you've been baptized, okay? So that's fine. But if you haven't and you want to say, I want to follow Jesus, Jesus has commanded us to do this. That's why we do it tonight. It's good. You should be baptized. Jesus has told us to do it. But even though that is enough reason on its own, I can't just give you a one-point sermon, can I? I've got to get at least two more points in. So why do we do this? Well, we do it because it makes a difference. This stuff makes a difference. Jesus, I think, you see, knew what he was doing. Surprising that, isn't it? Not total heretic yet. But Jesus knew what he was doing when he told us to do this stuff. Why? Why does it make a difference? Well, it makes a difference to us, actually, first of all. So this is really good. This is really good. This is second point, 3 points. Okay? 3 sub-points in my second point. Okay, so you're going to have to, Danny's despairing now. Danny, it's great to see you back again. Welcome back from Milton Keynes, mate. I know what it's like down there. I've lived there. You've come back to God's own country here in Mansfield. So just, you know, it's good, you know. It makes a difference to us. It makes a difference to, what's my second? To the church. Just testing. It makes a difference to the church. Makes a difference to the world. Okay, so you with it? Second point, 3 sub-points. Makes a difference to us, makes a difference to the church, makes a difference to the world. It makes a difference to us because this is something you can look back to. You can look back to this, those of you who are taking this step of faith tonight, you can look back to this and say, oh, I remember that. I remember that. I've had that experience. I made that step of faith. I made that commitment. It's like a marker in the ground. I was baptized, actually, when I was 11, although I didn't get to go in a big tank. I had to have a little bit of water put on my head. But I remember it, and I value that, I think. And I suppose, to be honest, some of you might be thinking, he's a vicar, isn't he? Why wasn't his son baptized when he was a baby? Well, that's part of the truth, actually, is why we didn't do that. That was just our personal decision. That was our choice. We decided to make that for Michael and for Zachary. Partly so, partly so that they could have that experience for themselves. That doesn't mean to say, by the way, that I don't think that baptizing babies is valid. I do it regularly, and I think it's really good. And in fact, you might be thinking, well, actually, I can't remember my baptism. I was a baby. Well, actually, that doesn't matter. You can still look back to it. It still happened. God was there. And actually, even though you might not remember it, you were there too. Katie's a bit worried about that now. She's suddenly realised, I didn't know that happened to me. God was there. You were there. People made promises on your behalf. Of course, it's right that. That's why we have confirmation, so that you can take those promises on board for yourself and confirm those promises that were made at your baptism. It makes a difference to us. Not actually that this is some sort of, don't think this is some sort of magic or some sort of technique, but it's, what is it? It's a sign for us. It's symbolic. It shows us something. It's a symbol for us, actually, that God has washed us free of our sins. Washed us free of all the stuff that gets in the way, that stops us from having a relationship with God. And actually, you might be thinking, well, I'm not sure that I've done that thing about having my sins washed away, and Am I following Jesus, or do I even want to? Or I was just invited along to a church service, so get me out of here now. What's going on? Actually, we want to tell you, we want to offer you, Jesus wants to offer you this life of knowing what it means to be forgiven, to know what it means to be right with God, to know God's peace in your heart, to know the life of His Holy Spirit within you. And all of those things are symbolized in this baptism service tonight. If you'd like to know more about that, we'd love to share that with you. We'd love to share with you about what it means to follow Jesus and how we can take that journey together. Don't miss that opportunity. If you feel God speaking to you tonight, whether that was through our worship just now, when we come to the baptisms, or any point really, even maybe from what I'm saying, though I accept that that's unlikely. Anyway, so it makes a difference to us. It's a sign, it's a symbol. It makes a difference, so here we are, point two, sub-point two, makes a difference to the church. Listen carefully to that reading again. This is especially for those of you who are being baptized tonight. See, this is, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And this one Lord gives us gifts. The gifts that He gave are that would some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And I think what Paul is doing here is he is linking this explicitly to baptism. He mentions baptism in the same passage as these five gifts. So these are the gifts that are given to all of the baptized. They're not just for special people who wear strange things around their necks, even though there are quite a few of them here tonight. And I don't want to offend any of them too much, though I'm not that bothered. No, I am don't. You know, actually, these are the gifts that are given to all of the baptized. I'm going to be coming on to that a little bit more in a minute as well. Makes a difference to the church. It makes a difference to the church that you are here taking these promises tonight and going through this physical action of being baptized. So, I know Zachary doesn't need to hear this bit really, so Zachary, just close your ears to this bit. Oh no, you don't have to really, but you know, actually, you are God's gift to the church. That's why I said Zachary doesn't need to hear it. I'm being a bit annoying, aren't I? You, being baptized tonight, are God's gift to the church. If you've been baptized, you are God's gift. Look around you and say to the person next to you, you know what, I really think you're God's gift. You are. That doesn't make you feel good. You are God's gift to the church. But the challenge is now, not for you to sit there and go, as Zachary probably is, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what he's saying, isn't it? The challenge is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the fact that you are God's gift to the church? You see, Eileen Roper here was preaching brilliantly last week about the parable of the talents. You have gifts. You are God's gift to the church. You've got to do something with it. It's no good just going, oh yeah, I was baptized. That was great. That was a lovely evening I had. You've got to do something with it. That's the challenge. And it makes a difference to the world. Jesus tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. And we are baptized, the baptized are baptized into that truth. It makes a difference to the world. So, you with me? That's my second point, and that's the three sub-points of it. So those of you who are going to be working out, it's only one point to go, and it's only 20 to 7. So we're doing well. Maybe. Which leads on to my final thought. Don't you love it when the preacher says that? My final thought. Why do we do this? Why do we get all this mess? Why do we bother with all this water and stuff? We do it because this is our commission. This is our commission. You're going to make a promise in a minute. The promise I'm going to ask you, do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? And you're going to say, I submit to Christ. And what does your Lord say to you, who you are submitting to tonight? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, of all places. You know, as I was saying, I think I was looking at this passage not all that long ago, actually, and saying this, that, of course, don't forget, when Jesus said these words and where he said them from, you know, this place here was the end of the earth, really. We weren't far away, were we, from the limits of what they then knew. They would have known about Britain, wouldn't they, part of the Roman Empire. But this was the ends of the earth. This was all people groups here, all nations. And it still is the ends of the earth. No, not really, huh? What does your Lord say to you? Go and make disciples. So if you've been baptized, and as you are being baptized tonight, and as Naomi reaffirms her baptism vows, this is your commission too. So you see, some of us have been ordained. Some of us wear these strange things around our necks, actually. And some people here are going to be priested in not very long away. Someone who's sitting not very far away from me. You know, and I'm looking forward to, I'm going to be there. It's going to be great to be there. You know, some of us have been licensed as readers or lay workers or youth workers in the community, whatever it is. But actually, none of these things, none of them, speaking as somebody who's been ordained myself, none of them is as fundamental as what's happening here tonight. Baptism and that entry into the Christian faith and receiving that commission is really what it's all about. There's nothing greater than that. There's no greater privilege within the Church of God than to be part of the baptized, to be part of the family of God, whom God has forgiven and washed and sanctified and welcomed. And there's nothing like the truth that all those who follow Jesus have been baptized and have received this commission. The trouble is, and so those of you who regularly worship here know this is a bit of a hobby horse of mine over the last few months, that we've made mission the work of the specialist few. So we've said, okay, well, you know, we'll ordain you or we'll license you or we'll commission you and you can go and do that mission stuff. Whereas the truth is, we are all sent by Jesus to fulfill this commission from our baptism. It's right there, isn't it, linked in both of our readings tonight. You see, God is a sending God. The Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit send the church into the world. And how do we baptize people tonight? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? As the Father sends me, so I send you. So, let's get messy. Let's get messy. Let's get in the water. We will lift you up again, don't worry, it's fine. But let's get messy. Let's get in the water until it's right over our heads. It's what Jesus told us to do. It makes a difference to our lives. It makes a difference to our church. It makes a difference to our world. And it's our commission, the one in which we are all baptized if we follow Jesus, and into which Mary and Zach and Chloe and Mark and Jess will be baptized tonight, and in which Naomi will renew her faith in as we do this to the glory of God. Amen. So, it is time for our candidates to come to the front. So if you'd like to come up, and your godparents, supporters, sponsors, whatever you're called, come up with you, come and stand up on the dais here with me. Just going to move this out of the way. You need to bring that little sheet of paper that I gave you earlier. So the candidates come and stand kind of at the front. Just come this side, Zach, a bit, actually, of me. And if you want to stand behind sponsors, godparents, whatever, to stand behind your candidate. Jess and Mary, do you want to come over this side? Fantastic. Right. I've lost Naomi. Naomi's here.